This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Rishus, Kvod HaDayan, I first want to give a personal appreciation for my close yidid, Rabbi Nasha Borden, who put a lot of effort in making a maimed to be mechabed zichroi of our Rebbe. I'm sure people here know a lot more about how much tircha went into this, and made a schus of our Rebbe, who Menashe did so much for him and helped so much, made stand instead for him as mishpacha and tzatzoyim ad oylam. I'm not sure if the oylam here consists of talmidim, people who just heard about him and came to give a kavod to a gavra rabbad moed, but what I would like to say are words that don't so much describe the person, but the void that he filled in our lives. For all the people, for the hundreds and thousands of people that were kosher to Rav Moshe, b'nimei nafsham, he filled a void, something that had been missing until they came to him. And Avelus is always an expression of something being torn from you, something being taken out from you. And I would like to try to describe what was the void that he filled and what's the void that he left with his Petira. The Rambam says, Moshe Rabbeinu le'eminu b'yisro b'nei oise she'osa. Moshe Rabbeinu, Klal Yisrael, did not believe in him because of miracles. And the Rambam, very famous Rambam describes that miracles are always undependable and it's not something we can rely on. Ubameh minu boy, what was it that they were able to believe in him? B'maymet har Sinai, she'einenu ro'u v'loizar, we witnessed with our own eyes, v'zneinu shomu v'le'acher, our ears heard and not another person. Ha'esh ha'koilos lapidim, and Moshe walked over to that fire. Va'anushemim, we hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lehem kach v'kach. Moshe, Moshe, go tell them the Torah, the mitzvahs, etc. V'cheinu oimer ponim v'ponim dibashem imochem. So the Rambam is describing our personal experience of Moshe Rabbeinu getting from Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu say Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lehem is what was for us the personal experience of revelation. Rav Moshe once was Meir. He once pointed out a problem. There is no such pasuk as Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lehem. It doesn't exist. The only time Moshe, Moshe is mentioned is by the Sneh. Even Lech Emor Lehem is not quite there, not certainly not in that context. But I could understand the paraphrasing. We heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Emor Lehem. But why Moshe, Moshe? It is true. Chazal say that every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Moshe Rabbeinu, he called him Moshe, Moshe. But it still doesn't answer. Why would the Rambam is using this as a phrase to describe what is that imminent experience of being together and hearing it. So why mix in a medrash that says that it was always called Moshe, Moshe? It really, really is very odd and seems out of place. I don't remember what Rav Moshe said. I remember the Ha'ara. I'd like to try and understand a little bit about the meaning of that repetition of Moshe, Moshe. The Chazal, Medrash, Nazar, they point out that four people had their name repeated, Avraham, Moshe, Shmuel, and by all, Yaakov, by all of them, there is the way in which the timing in the pasuk punctuated. There's some sort of there's some sort of gap, which is natural. When I call somebody out of chavivus, I say, Yaakov, Yaakov, there's a pause. It's not Yaakov, Yaakov, it's Yaakov, Yaakov. There's some sort of pause. That's a natural pause when the repetition is out of chavivus. The trop by Moshe does not have that pause. And the Zohar points it out, Chazal pointed out, and there are different terutzim. One is that he never stopped his nevuah. One is that he always had nevuah. He was a kaddish from the day he was born. And one of them is the Mesorah brings, the Minchas Shai brings a Mesorah that says that since it was the Aspaklaria Meira, it was Moshe Rabbeinu's clarity. Moshe Rabbeinu had nevuah with a total clarity. That's why there's no psik between the Moshe. Not quite clear what the kesher is. The other pshatim, that there's no psik, there's no hefsik, because he always was Kaddish, or a Navi, he never stopped. It makes sense. Spaklaria Meira, a little bit harder to understand what the Leipasik is. And I'll try to explain that, and Bimela will understand what the Rambam wants. The Kuzari says, when he speaks about the Melech of the Kuzarim, asks the Chaver, describe to me a little bit about the mystical works that Klal Yisrael has. So the Chaver answers, Bein Eilu Sefer Yetzirah Lavrom Avinu Ala Shalom. There's something called Sefer Yetzirah. And he gives a two-sentence description of what Sefer Yetzirah is about. He says it's a very, very deep work, and it needs a lot of explanation. But he says, Sefer Zeh Melamed Oisanu Lirois. This work teaches us, Ki Achdus Halokai V'Ribuinoisai Niglis B'Dvarim Shemitzad Rabim Heim V'Shoinim Shemitzad Rabim Heim V'Shoinim U'minat Tzad Hasheni Ishbem Achdus Vat Oma V'Hatamosam Bolehem Midei Ha'echad Mesadeh HaKol. So this is his brief description, and it reads as follows. We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in two facets. One is the extraordinary diversity, in creation, the riot of different manifestations of life, existence, everything about it. And we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka in the distinctions and differences. Who could possibly make so many different elements, beings, entities, and so on? And that's one way with Tayfas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the second way with Tayfas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the underlying unity of all of creation, which comes down to the one, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Kuzari tells us, he's explaining that Sefer Yetzirah is teaching us that the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is two-faceted. And from both ends of creation, we need to reach and understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is the extraordinary diversity, Marabu Masech Hashem, and the other one is the unity, where everything really comes down to one. And the more we've progressed, actually, in Chochmas HaTeva, it's become, in every way, whether it's life or everything else, we see that at the root, the commonness of everything comes down to something very simple. Those are the two facets that we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. So the Shleimus of Hakara and HaKadosh Baruch Hu lies in both. we wear tefillin shel roish and tefillin shel yad. The tefillin shel roish has compartments. The tefillin shel yad has the muna. The tefillin shel yad is against our heart. It comes kineged the lev. And it's all of the parashas in one. That means, in the yisoid of machshava of a person, in his ability to think and understand, distinction, hagdara, is where the hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu lies. Each parasha is a distinct unit and a distinct bias. Because the koyach of the mind is the koyach to be able to give each thing its own metzias, to define it, to describe it, and to give it its place. There's a koyach in the lave. The lave is something that doesn't have the ability to divide itself up. Lev echad, yichad lev, all your heart. That requires that all of the tefisa that we have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the parshas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu come as one. And together they are a shleimus. Each one stands on its own. Each one is able to is a mitzvah on its own, whether a full mitzvah or not. That's a lomdashik question. But it certainly is an entity on itself. But the shleimus of dveikus in emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu lies when you have the ois al yedecha and the toi tefes b'nei necha. That is our dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in both these inyanim. The human being, being the person, the entity that is meant to express HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emes in the world, he does it through dibur. But dibur consists of two strata. The Balatanya, it's in his drushim in the Kutei Torah on Rosh Hashanah, says that dibur is primarily a product of the mind, and koil is primarily a product of the heart. Havla deliba, different references. Dibur, the word that uses to describe effective dibur, is called chitoch hadibur. It's when each word is sharply defined, not slurred. And we describe something as crisply as possible, as exactly as possible. That's the koyach of dibur, and the koyach of koil is something that requires a gathering up of the entire person's feelings, sense of things, and bringing it out. Gave us these two powers that they are woven into each other. There is no dibur without koil. There's no real koil. There's a tsa'aka, but almost meaningless koil without dibur. And therefore, a person's metzias of dibur, a person's tafkid, the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lies only through an interaction deeper and coil. I guess for many of us who found Rav Moshe, what the void that we had was that we had two different connections to Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to everything about it. We were connected through the world of Dibur. And there are many people that say nice things, beautiful things, academic things, enlightening things, but dead. No chiyus. There isn't an neshama in it. And yes, one very much wants to admire the world, understand it, understand all the different godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and every nuance of the Bria. But something about it was disconnected. There are people who found HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol libo, and they express it. But it's a simplicity that precludes any discerning, any knach of nuance in the particularities of the Bria. Imagine you're standing in a beautiful, magnificent garden or forest, and one person reads you all the statistics about how the flowers grow and the particularities of each one and the color and the unique properties and the strange, exotic, you know, unique features of each flower and so on and so forth. And that's what he does. And you understand the flowers and all the particularities and everything. And a second person stands and says, it's all nonsense, it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each one is half of a picture, which means that neither is the picture. And it's dissatisfying when in the place that there seems to be seichel, there's no lev, and in the place that there seems to be lev, there's no seichel. And it's very hard, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us to be makir elikus in a certain way, then it's only possible to do it in a certain way. And anything short of that, and certainly anything that's a bifurcation of it, will leave a person terribly dissatisfied. For those of us that were zeicher to come in to Rav Moshe, it was for us the perception. First of us to hear the koil and dibur as one. It was incredible that Rav Moshe would say whatever Shiri said, the chachma of the words, the understandings, the nuances, the diyukim, the depth, the hekif, everything that seichel dwells on was there. And you walked out and you were enlightened. Incredibly. But the koil, wherever he spoke, there was a simple koil of bikush. It was as multifaceted and as varied and as nuanced as his dibur was, so was his koil plain, coming from the depths of his neshama and expressing itself in those words. I remember he read a ksuba at my daughter's wedding. Every word was put into its place exactly. People didn't know Aramaic would know what he said, with the diuk, with the lush, with the grammar, as he could do. But there was also somebody reading a ksuba, somebody reading a promise to be miyakir and to be meizin and kegav yudoyin. You felt it was not an exercise in grammar and linguistics. It was reading a ksuba by Yiddish achasna ish v'isha. He was incredible in each one by itself. But what made him unique was the fact that they were one. The dibur and the koil come from two different ends. And yet, by him, they came one, the way they should be. The koyach of dibur and seichel conquers. It masters. When I've cracked the secret of something, and I understand it, I've mastered it. That's the koyach of dibur. The koyach of koil is submission. And in every dibur of Moshe, there was the incredible mastery of an Indian through his seichel and a submission to the one above that was the same distance from the center as was his mastery. It's something that in Koyches HaNefesh is almost an impossibility. Even in the Torah, that he said, as person, he considered himself to be of the Goyans Cheder primarily. The Goyans Torah was his Torah Semis. The Leshim considered himself to be Mamshach the Goyans Torah, and that was the basis for everything. Every word of the Goyan was to him Yokar Yokarim, and despite the fact that the Goyan is so laconic and so brief, he was able to tease out and explain myriad amount of halachas. That was one part of him. He told me once in a conversation that he met a Yid in Mansi. His name was Rav Shor Zechana Vracha, who was a Talmud of the Malach. The Malach was a great Hasidic figure, a sort of a branch of Chabad of Baal Tanya, much later, but that was the... And Rav Moshe told me, I saw on this person's face the Kedusha and the Tara, that this is what the Baal Shem Tov meant. And I seriously toyed with the idea of dropping everything and coming and sitting at his feet for a tekufa. So Reb Moshe's seichel and das is the goyim, but when he sees somebody who's kol kulei natua in an emuna that comes from a very, very deep place, then he said, I wanted to drop everything and come be there. I seriously gave it some thought. He told me once that on a Friday afternoon, when I learn, when it's a long Friday afternoon, I have a chance to learn the Kutei Torah. It's about Atanya's works on Chumash, Mo'ez Drashas. It's a different Shabbos for me. It's a stira. If a person is Geiris, one or the other. If a person's Yiddishkeit comes in one dimension, either the heart or the mind, then the two are at loggerheads. Rav Moshe's personality had the extraordinary depth of having the heart and the mind work together and in tandem. And there was no steer there. Let's go back to the Rambam. Moshe, Moshe means when I need to accept somebody's words as coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to accept two premises. One is that he hears HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one is that he's telling over accurately, that he understands it and is able to give it words, that the words I hear are an accurate reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are two halves. It's almost, we have people who listen very intently, then don't have the ability to quite give it over well. And there are people that are intent on saying their own, and they don't listen that carefully. I'm saying it on a very low level, but on a higher daraga, the person can have a tremendous koyach of a chacham, but not be mushrash in a tua in the sheirish. A person can be mushrash in a tour in the Sheirish, but not have the ability to give it over properly in a way that's emes to its makar. If Moshe is leipasik, like we saw the Mesirah that the Birshai brings, Moshe pasik means aspakaya mi'ira. It means the Moshe that's communicating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Moshe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Lecha Mor Lahem are one and the same Moshe. That's the only Torah that's absolutely emes. I can meet a person who's very smart and tell me all sorts of smart things, but I don't quite believe that he's yoinik from Torah and he's getting, it's the Dvar Hashem that I'm getting. It's his dibur. And sometimes I can meet a person who I think is mushrash and yoinik from the Sheirish, but his interpretation of it, his translation of it into reality and into tachlis, I might feel is short. It's only when you have a moisha leipasik, when there's no bifurcation from the moisha that's in it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the moisha that gives it over, that's when that Torah is emes. The Zohar Kodesh says it's something that the people in the Sasfarad say it every day, as or should say it every day as hakdama to the tefillah. There's a pasuk El Yohu, and I assume the reason why it's said is because since Nusach Sfarad, there's a big inyan to be mechavan different kavanas. The kavanas that you mechavan in the tefillah are all being comprehending the different aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how it is that he interacts with the Bria. It's sort of, quote unquote, making sense out of the different things and how they work. And the pasuk El Yo is, El Yo says, Ribbono Shelom, you are one. You are someone that machshava cannot grasp. You have decided to interact in the world in 10 different ways, which are called spheres. What it includes everything. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us. And he says, but the core of it, the heart of these different spheres are you and only you. And when it's unplugged from you, it's dead and lifeless. And it goes on later and it says, it's like a tree that draws its life from the stream underground. And when that ceases, the tree with all its fruits and leaves and the whole array of everything you see on the tree shrivels up and dries out. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created many, many ways of interacting with the Bria. And each and every one of them has its own gedarim. There's the Midas Rachma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Adin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas HaMishpat. Each and every one of them has a whole Shulchan Aruch, has a whole understanding of what it is, and how it is, and why it is, and when it is, and so on. And it's important to know it as such, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world like that, then we need to do it. Just like all the mitzvahs in the Torah are Ratzon Hashem, and yet each one has its own mesechta. Each one has its own sugyas. We can't patter ourselves from learning different things by saying, well, the bottom line is, Lama toikin, Rachmana ama tiku. That's not. So on the one hand, from its manifestation in our world, it requires seichel and das to understand each and every detail. And then it requires saying, but all of this is just an expression of one thing, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. My own emotions or person needs to be able to connect in two different ways that are almost impossible. It needs to connect by breaking my head and working out all the distinctions, and then turning my heart on and feeling the unity of it all. That's the Kuzari says is the basis. This is everything that's taught in the Sfarim that teach us the Pnimius HaTorah. That's what they teach us. I don't know. I don't have the faintest idea of what Rav Moshe knew, way beyond what any of us imagines. The little he shared with us was extraordinary. But the one thing that I know, and that every person who felt himself bound to him with those avusos ahava, with that bikush hanefesh, with the feeling that this is where the mischaba to the emes, was that at the same time that the branches and the fruit was blossoming, there was a yenika from the ground. As we were exploring the Morabu Masecha Hashem, we were feeling Ata Echad and Einad Mulvadim. It's almost an impossible task. The Zohar Kodesh says, he speaks about these different properties, these different yonim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it says, V'kad mischabrin kulo nehoirin kechada. Each and every one of these lights, each and every one of these teachings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, manifestations, expressions, are all called a light. They enlighten us. Each midah that we deal with, each mitzvah, each pasuk, every single element is a light. It enlightens us. But when all of these lights come together, ikrum yukna de malka, that's called the tzura of the melech, kaviyachol. We have a mashal. We know that we have many colored lights. And yet when all those colors come together in a prism, they become a white light. And the person needs to hold on to both ends of that prism simultaneously. Rav Moshe's words have been stilled. La'amesim yalu ka v'loy ka yardei duma. His words came to a stop. We have the old words. We have the words that they awakened in us, the understandings. The koil, it says koil godol, v'lo yosef, fursim, leipasik. That koil is leipasik. He's in a world where the diburim and the koil are one, where all those oiris are misachid, and they become dyugna de malka. He left us a hole, a gaping hole between the mind and the heart. Yes, we can sometimes feel kavana and feel turned on, and we can sometimes understand or try to understand. But that this, in the same deep explanation of a very difficult goyim, there should be such an aching, pining Yerushalayim, as his mind was brilliantly opening up a goyim, his heart was pining, yearning for what's beyond. Where are those words leading me to? Where did they come from? And only a person that was zeich to hear it had a kesher to it. That void that he filled for us, for all of us who came in Waniksha, that I think is what we found. May his chus be. that we remember that there was a coil, where there was a Moshe, there was a person in our generation, Kefir Keinu, who had this pachin of Leipasik, a Moshe in our day, whose personality and understanding were Mikshachas, who could see the diversity and breadth of the Bria. There wasn't anything that was outside of his tchum of interest. Anything that had chachma to it drew him. And there'll be a thousand stories about people in different areas, people in different disciplines, different places. He always needed to see and understand and find everything. And yet his panim was always a simple, a profound yearning and pining for the beyond. That was our demus of someone that Adam is b'tzelem Elokim, this Dyukna Malka, which combines those different lights into one light. The combination thereof was his Dyukin. May his Dyukin remain for us a shining Dyukna, an understanding that Shleimus requires Mizel Mizeh, that it's possible for a person who doesn't overrule his mind with his heart or his heart with his mind, but pushes both to their extreme, it's possible to have that Selam Lakim, that Yukta de Malka. And may that Oyer that he brought to the world and to our lives be mayor, so that at least we know the direction that we should be heading to.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.